without no telephone. See all the wonders that you leave behind, enshrined in some great hourglass. The noble tongues, the noble languages, entombed in some great English class. Off into outer space you go.
Lovely atmosphere.
In the Lord is our shepherd, who shall be fear?
No one. Yes, the party start down here at CKUW 95.9 FM on your dial in Winnipeg. Here we are in the University of Winnipeg, 4.5 floor, Centennial, Manitoba Hall. Look out, look out. We're rising and we will not fall. We're getting harder and harder and badder and badder. Right up until 8 a.m. this morning, Raspberry Choir, Prince Ogona, Princess Tim Solam, Queen Victoria, Dr. T, and John, who's here but never here. Sometimes here is Princess Rachel, and always here is Princess Catherine. At this time, continuing to make sure that we're up and sublime. Bo! We're going. This is Guy of Rhythm Drummers. The challenge. It's a challenge for all of us here. All of us in Canada, all of us in the world. To stop this genocide.
Never give up, my friend.
Manuela, and you're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, and the radio show name is called Fantastic Friday. Please come and join us every single Friday morning from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. every Friday morning.
Long ago, after the Creator first put people on the earth, the Anishinaabe, or original people, strayed from their peaceful ways, they began to argue and fight.
I want to say, welcome to your building. This building belongs to you, the people of Manitoba, and so we are so happy to be able to open it up to you to come celebrate the best time of year.
The Manitoba Legislative Building was turned into a winter wonderland on Saturday as the annual holiday open house kicked off the festive season. And Premier Wab Kanew invited the public to come out and celebrate the holidays.
We have so much to be thankful for. Celebrating Hanukkah and Christmas and Kwanzaa and the solstice and even my birthday. That we're just so overjoyed that you can be here to celebrate with us.
The legislature halls were decked with boughs of holly, with carolers, holiday treats, and even the big man himself making an appearance. It's the second year in a row the holiday open house was held, after being suspended in 2020 and 2021 due to the pandemic, and again in 2022 due to safety concerns. And now it's clear the return of the event is a welcome sight to the public.
I think it's very self-educating, and we enjoyed ourselves, and hopefully everyone else is doing the same.
Pretty nice looking. Like, that's like my first time here, and like, it's nice that like they organized it all.
Very nice, yeah. And the building looks beautiful with all the decorations.
I'm a huge fan of the legislative building here. I love bringing my kids and getting them interested in politics as best as I can. So it's a great day here.
And before the premier wrapped up his speech, he left Manitobans with a heartfelt message this holiday season.
Let's remember that the thing that unites us as Manitobans at this time of year and every single day of the year is generosity. So let's be kind, let's be happy, and let's be generous. Sound good?
In Winnipeg, Eddie Huband, City News.
The others, the loon must have.
Hey everyone, I'm Jess Turner. Make sure you listen to Fantastic Fridays on CKUW 95.9 FM every Friday morning, 6 a.m. till 8 a.m. That's way too early for me. Okay, thanks, bye.
We talk about the destruction of Palestine and its people.
Still we see,
and we talk about that general belief in a God that is supposed to have come from that area. And still the Palestinians are being wiped out. And Bethlehem is being turned into rubble. Do we have any trouble? Is that God with us? That God will stop the place that is supposed to be the birthplace of his Redeemer, the hopes for it to be turned into rubber? Of all, we will hear more about this a little later in the program.
Met in thee tonight.
Nat King Cole.
For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wondering love.
They say that I'm a witch, and that I weave a spell.
Oh,
well. I'll use my eyes to invite you, my lips to delight you, and all the charms of the feminine wiles to excite you. They say that I'm a witch and that I weave a spell. Well, I'll be a son of a, and no wonder. Well, let me tell you, brother, I'd rather be burned as a witch than never be burned at all. I'll use my songs to entice you with verses to advise you, and all of my bags of tricks to shoot. They say that I'm a witch and that I weave a spell. Well, I'll be a son of a, and a wonder. Well, let me tell you, brother, I'd rather be burned as a witch than never be burned at all. If you want a gal who would be your pal, who would never look at another, who would be good and true and take care of you, sorry, you want another. Use my charms to undo you, my arms to unglue you, and all of the hicks of the weaker sex to voo. Well, I'll be a son of a, and a wonder. Well, let me tell you, brother, I'd rather be burned as a witch than never be burned at all. If you want a love who's a turtle dove, who will bring your life's little joys, who is sweet and shy with a gentle eye, I'll take the men, not the boys.
Bad Bishop, this is a Juvie Morning presentation that's coming to you from Trinidad and Tobago. Original, the early morning. This is the band called Starland. Bad Bishop.
I'm Julian Cooper. You're listening to Fantastic Friday on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. This is my favorite morning wake-up show.
We still weep for you, Palestine.
She said, take your time, what's the rush? I said, baby, I'm a dog, I'm a mutt. She said, take your time, what's the rush? I said, baby, I'm a dog, I'm a mutt. I'm a dog, I'm a mutt. I can smoke already, so pardon my bluntness. I see past pretty faces, so I got trouble trusting. But I let my guard down for you. Said I'll put my guard down for you. Said I'll be my own above, so you can break my heart if you want to. She said, take your time, what's the rush? I said, baby, I'm a dog, I'm a mutt. She said, take your time. I'm a dog, I'm a mutt. No crit on the come through.
Trigger! Damn it! Back the fuck up from my door. What the fuck is you supposed to be? A tampon? Bitch, trick, trick, trick this trick, trick.
It's D-O-E. Reppin' for the B-A-E. another J-O-B. Nigga, I'm back like a Chucky bride from the afterlife. Nothing nice, this an antichrist, this a bloody night. Bloody ride, he gon' fantasize by the cellulite in my thighs. Got that spooky twat for your appetite. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Turn him on when I'm all alone, we be moaning. He call my phone, I'ma put this pussy with a drone. And he wanna own it, he pay to get this pussy flown. And he wanna clone it, but I'ma have this nigga foaming. And this the Wizard of Oz, I'm Wicked Witch of the West. You shuffling up them cards, I'm at the top of the deck. I know that I pose a threat when I post it up on the net. If you book with Ochi.com, you know you booking the best. Off topic, I'm fucking, I do this with no magic. I kill you with no casket, I mwah, no track to die. It's about to get wretched, I chop you up, no hatchet. I soak you in that acid tub, beat you to the maggots. Baby, wait, wait, wait.
You can't float in a place in my city. I can go. I keep a pole, cause it gets cold. I've been cornered in the ring, but I ain't full. I've been down bad on my ass, yeah, I've been broke. I don't flip the script, sticking to the code. You can name a situation where ain't there another nigga like me in my city. Spinning blocks until I'm dizzy. Keep a big J cool like 50. When I die, I just slide if you miss me. Used to diss me, now these bitches wanna kiss me. Told my mama we gon' make it to the big leagues. In the streets, even though it could get risky. Shawty, she gon' spin up on my dick like she a frisbee. Now I'm at the top, spinning block. If they talking hot, all these bitches drop. Wanna flop, wanna touch the spot. Niggas got a cost when we shot. We been spinning blocks, I just got a Glock and a chop. Heard they found a spot. I know it's a lot that we've been through, but I'll never stop. I'ma script the part, wrap it up, then I strip the guap. Rest in peace, my brother, Zizzy Teddy, I've been missing luck. I ain't gonna stop till I'm dead, or I'm at the top. Casket, put you in a casket. I can't fuck with that little bitch unless she little ratchet. If I pull up with a shorty, you know she ain't average. She just fell in love with me cause she know that I'm savage.
Hi, I'm Dale Rufus, and you're listening to Fantastic Fridays on CKUW 95.9, my favorite Friday morning wake-up show.
This is for my city dwellers, my storytellers, my soundscapers, music makers, and my dreamers of dreams. This is for the beat layers, the street sayers, the graph writers, and the painters. This is for the crate keepers, the image freezers, the lens seekers, and the photogs. This is for the spinners, the rewinders, drop the needle, pull it back, and come againers. This is for the movers, the body users, the kinetic acrobatic defying gravity provers. This is for the filmmakers, the actors, the activators, my sculptors, and my cans. Sprayers. This is for the da-da-dubbers, the dancers, the scribers, the scholars. This is for the freestylers, my improvisers, my poetical, lyrical, spiritual vocalizers. This is for my speechifiers, for the visionaries, for the bridge builders, the chain breakers, the power takers. This is for the door crashers, my drum beaters, the call to action taker to the streeters. For my behind the sceners, my planners, my finders, our on task and right on timers. For our organizers, our survivors, our motivators, and our strivers. This is for the uplifters and our uprisers. This is for you, our ancestors. This is for you, our people blessers, our children, for our vision, for our villages, our hoods, our nations, our truths. This is for our culture, for our generation. This is for our creator and our creation. This is for our inner being and our outer, for our say it louder, big and prouder. This is for the art, for the word. This is for the sound. This is for the power.
Hello everyone, my name is Nono and I come from all the way in South Africa. Please continue listening to Fantastic Friday on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. Oh yeah!
And here's a tune presented by Nono and some other performers in Winnipeg. Love it. This is Makai.
So in this piece, we have on vocals Nosifo Mtotoba, on Alu and Tane Mudosi. And chanting, you have Coco Stevenson and Kate Ryder. On the guitar, you have George Kulak, banjo Daniel Kulak. On the bass, you have Ignacio Wani. On congas, you have Rodrigo Munoz. On drums, you have Ruth Ebelet and on marimba, you have Mpo Marimba. It was recorded right here in Winnipeg in Dan Donahue Studio. Enjoy.
Local scene, Lillian Allen, Anta, part of the birth poem.
You ate grits for breakfast every morning, and you knew a girl in high school, a black girl, and she was nice. I don't care if your nanny was black, because Michael Griffiths is dead, killed by white youths who got her free, even though witnesses testified to their crime. So I don't care, you hear? I don't care because black woman Tawana Brawley was raped by four white cops who are still out on the street. And Donald Trump takes out a three-page ad in the New York Times calling for the death of six black youth accused of raping a white woman. So I don't care if your nanny was black and you ate grits for breakfast every morning and you knew a black girl in high school and she was nice. I don't care, you hear? I don't care, cause for too long we have held our pain in our very flesh. For too long our bleeding hearts in our chest. For too long our eyes have seen what they can no longer bear to see. Our anger will rise like a red flood and spread across this land. Tear down monuments built on our blood and cast away false idols, and we will tear down this wall, tear down these walls, tear down these walls of this Jericho, of this Toronto. So I don't care if your nanny was black and you ate grits for breakfast every morning and you knew a black girl in high school and she was nice. I don't care, you hear? I don't care. Me no care, you hear? Me no care. I don't care, you hear? I don't care.
Hey, hey, you're listening to Fantastic Friday on CKUW 95.9 FM. Ka-chow.
Come out, patch on there, spread red carpet. One thing we have to tell on us, watch ya. Adam Mercy. Watch me now. It name murder me wrote and me no take back me chat. Shuffle the date me had the queen in a the park. Look how me cute and sexy like that. And me plant the con, so no better watch that. Show me step up in a life, them want to give me a fight. Show me look cute and them no look too right. They call on me to over me, man, a fight. And that now one no time in a them life. Me no cut up, I can model every time. Absolute niceness, come with pair rhyme. First class dress code and your style a lick. The quality, my feet come back quick. Cause murder me wrote and me no take back me chat. Truffle the date me a the queen in a the park. Look how me cute and sexy like that. And me plant the con, so no better watch that. Cho, S me no spade, me no king, me no jack. Me a the queen and me run the pack. Shuffle up the deck and me come pan top. Say uno no se patcha and no dead stock. Anything test them off.
Hi everyone, my name is Belaine Osman. I'm a student here at the U of W. My students actually call me Madame Oz. Just letting you know, CKUW has an awesome show called Fantastic Friday, and you guys should listen to it. Stay tuned.
Think you where you come from? As long as you're a black man, you're an African. No mind your nationality. Have got the identity of an African. 'Cause if you come from Clarendon, and if you come from Portland, and if you come from Westmoreland,
it really don't matter, because coming to you all the way from West Africa in a country called Nigeria, as you want to call Prince Ugonna, to give you news and views from Africa. Prince Ugonna,
Yes, good morning, Vasuka, and good morning to all of our listeners. Unukedu, Kekwanu, greetings from Africa. Today's first piece comes from Democracy Now!, where we feature an excerpt of the Christmas sermon of Reverend Munta Isaac of the Evangelical Lutheran Christmas Church in Bethlehem, titled Christ is Still in the Rubble, referencing a sermon he gave at this time last year, titled Christ in the Rubble, about the loss of Palestinian life to Israel's assault of Gaza. We also go to Bethlehem to speak with Reverend Isaac. He shares his message to the U.S. and the rest of the world.
Never again should mean never again to all peoples. Never again has become yet again. Yet again to supremacy. Yet again to racism. And yet again to genocide. And sadly, never again has become yet again for the weaponization of the Bible and the silence and complicity of the Western Church. Yet again for the Church siding with power, the Church siding with the empire. And so today, after all this of total destruction and annihilation, and Gaza is erased, unfortunately, millions have become refugees and homeless, tens of thousands killed. And why is anyone still debating whether this is a genocide or not? I can't believe it. Yet even when church leaders simply call for investigating whether this is a genocide, he is called out and it becomes breaking news. Friends, the evidence is clear. Truth stands plain for all to see. The question is not whether this is a genocide. This is not the debate. The real question is, why isn't the world and the church calling it a genocide? It says a lot when you deny and ignore and refrain from using the language of genocide. This says a lot. It actually reveals hypocrisy. For you lectured us for years on international laws and human rights. It reveals your hypocrisy. It says a lot on how you look at us Palestinians. It says a lot about your moral and ethical standards. It says everything about who you are when you turn away from the truth, when you refuse to name oppression for what it is. Or could it be that they're not calling it a genocide? Could it be that if reality was acknowledged for what it is, that it is a genocide, then that it would be an acknowledgement of your guilt? For this war was a war that was so many defended as just and self-defense. And now you can't even bring yourself to apologize. We said last year, Christ is in the rubble. And this year we say, Christ is still in the rubble. The rubble is his manger. Jesus finds his place with the marginalized, the tormented, the oppressed, and the displaced. We look at the Holy Family and see them in every displaced and homeless family living in despair. In the Christmas story, even God walks with them and calls them his own. So today, let us reflect on the child Jesus, the child of Bethlehem. At the heart of the incarnation, there is a child. And this child, in his weakness, he is our hope. He is our consolation. He is our strength. This child, let us remember, this child shook Herod's throne when he was born. And while there are some who talk about their Roman Empire or glorify Herod as great, we are the ones who sing of a child born to refugees escaping a massacre. Yes, it has been 440 days. It is 440 days of Palestinians' resilience, Sumud. Indeed, it is 76 years of Sumud. But we have not and will not lose hope. Yes, it is 76 years of an ongoing Nakba, but it is also 76 years of Palestinian Sumud, clinging to our rights and justice of our cause. 76 years of praying and singing for peace. I was thinking about it. We are stubborn people. We continue to pray for peace year after year after year and sing about peace, and we will continue to do so. And we will continue to echo the words of the angels, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth.
Excerpts of this year's Christmas sermon from Pastor Reverend Isaac Munther at the Evangelical Lutheran Christmas Church in Bethlehem in the occupied West Bank in Palestine. Reverend Isaac's forthcoming book is titled Christ in the Rubble, Faith, the Bible, and the Genocide in Gaza. The Pope has just repeated his call for a ceasefire in Gaza. He also unveiled this year's nativity scene at the Vatican, portraying a baby Jesus in a crib lined with a Palestinian keffiyeh. The Israeli government has now denounced the Pope for calling for an international inquiry into Israel's assault on Gaza to see if it constitutes a genocide. The pastor, Munter Isaac, is joining us now from occupied Bethlehem. Your thoughts on what's happening, on the Pope being condemned by Israel, on what's happening in Bethlehem the second year that Christmas activities have been canceled because of the more than 45,000 Palestinians killed in Gaza. Reverend Isaac, thank you for joining us.
Israel is clearly committing a genocide. I mean, the evidence is very clear. And of course, they should be concerned because if an investigation takes place, it's going to reveal truly what is taking place. And even here in Bethlehem, it's not easy. It's another Christmas with isolation, with Bethlehem being completely isolated from Bethlehem, more blockades, more gates, checkpoints outside of Bethlehem. And my fear and our fear here in Bethlehem is that there is no one who's going to hold Israel accountable. And that's why statements like this from His Holiness the Pope make a difference, because Israel needs to know that we live within a community that respects the rule of law. Otherwise, chaos will prevail if everyone just does what they can. And if the rule of might is right rules, then is this the kind of future we want to leave for our children? That it respects the international law. I mean, it cannot be the United States and Israel versus the rest of the world, as every United Nations vote reveals. Again, if the United States is honest about its call for freedom, ideals, human rights, then they should respect that and that they should abide by the international law. My message is that they are enabling Israel into politics that's leading the whole region into chaos and destruction. There can be other ways. There are other ways. And we're tired and sick of these wars, which are enabled by American tax money and American politics. Yeah, I mean, we're still seeing images of children pulled from under the rubble. It's unthinkable to me that it's been more than 14 months now into this genocide, and we're still seeing the same images. It seems like we're powerless, and it seems like the world is content with letting this go on. And here in the West Bank, as we watch from Bethlehem what's happening, or Ramallah or Hebron, we wonder, are we next? Israel has made it clear they plan to annex the West Bank next year. What would this mean on the ground? Again, we live in this moment of anticipation, of anxiety. And at the same time, we're broken by the fact that the world seems content with letting this go without serious efforts to make it stop or put accountability and restraint on those who commit war crimes.
All right, so this second piece is from Black Agenda Radio. And we have played this before, but we still want to bring light to the situation. It's from Black Agenda Radio, where they speak with Omar Yeshitela, who is the chairman of the African People's Socialist Party. He and his Uhuru Three co-defendants, Penhase, Just Neville, were recently convicted of conspiracy in a federal case, alleging that they acted under the influence of the Russian government. Stay tuned for that.
Israel claims to be a different society to Syria, right? Israel claims to be a democracy. We would argue that this is not the case. But in terms of the standards we have to set, these are just absolutely different standards to what we would expect. In terms of what we discovered in this report, I think on some levels, in a sense, the obvious. We've seen the increase, the massive increase in the violence that Israel has inflicted on Palestinians since Hamas's criminal attack on October 7th, in the slaughter in Gaza, and also in the dehumanization discourse inside Israel. And therefore, on many levels, it's not surprising that Israeli soldiers who listen to Israeli leaders will act in a way that reflects this dehumanization. But there is also something extremely shocking about this, because the violence that we documented, it was new, not because there hasn't been violence by soldiers against Palestinians in the West Bank and in the city of Hebron before, but the scope of it, the scale of it, the fact that it was done in broad daylight, the fact that it was almost random in terms of the choice of victim. It wasn't people being beaten up for something they allegedly did, like throwing stones or being rude. It was Palestinians being beaten up and facing severe abuse merely for being Palestinians. In some way, it's as if the soldiers were just revenging Hamas's attack and imposing this vengeance on all Palestinians. They were selected almost at random, and this was done broadly. It's very clear that everyone was aware that this was being done. I think this is exactly the point. It's not as if Palestinians arrested someone, had an actual realistic allegation against them, whether that's true or not, and then proceeded to beat them up. Soldiers approached Palestinians who were going about their daily business. In some cases, they looked for some sort of so-called, quote-unquote, excuse to beat them up, right? So if they had some sort of photo in their phone that the soldiers could interpret as being problematic from their perspective, or in other cases, just the mere fact of walking down the street while Palestinian was enough to trigger this abuse. That's why we talk about it as being quite arbitrary. The victims were selected just by, for just going about their daily business. Additionally, I think one of the other really relatively new things, or the new developments about what we see on the ground, is that there were many threats of sexual violence. This is something I think we should be aware of, we should be mindful of over the past year. Types of sexual violence and threats in our context. Additionally, I think several of the witnesses reported that the soldiers were documenting these incidents, presumably to broadcast them then on social media, and in one case to send to a fiancé, to friends. So none of this is being done in a secretive way. It's all being done in broad daylight. So Hebron is unique in the sense that it is the only Palestinian town or city in the West Bank where there is a constant military presence right in the city center because of the Israeli settlements that are based in the center of Hebron. So because of that, there is always a constant contact, there's an interface between Israeli soldiers and Palestinians in their daily lives. So in that sense, Hebron is unique. But we surmise, we think, and we've reached the conclusion that this level of violence would reflect not just the conduct of soldiers, of Israeli soldiers and other members of the Israeli forces in Hebron city center, but that they are a much broader phenomenon. And we, as an Israeli organization that includes both Israelis and Palestinians, we look also at Israeli society and at what this indicates about the current moment in our society. And I think this is a really important point. The fact that these soldiers know what the spirit of the commander is. They're not doing something of their own private initiative. They're performing abuse that has been incited for by Israeli leaders, by politicians, by Israeli media extensively over the past year.
Well, I think the most important thing to know about the trial is that the United States government charged us with several charges, so-called overt acts, that criminalized activities we were involved in, and included elections that we participated in, organized around reparations, included the political work that we've done challenging the United States for violation of the United Nations Convention and punishment of the crime of genocide as it related to African people, accused us of becoming agents of Russia because we traveled to Moscow, among other places around the world. And so to break the isolation of the African liberation movement in this country and to support the struggle that we're involved in for self-determination, self-government against colonialism. And so these are the things that constitute the overt acts that the United States government charged us with. And the charge that was foundational, which was that we were agents of Russia. And so it stems from a law that initially had its origin in 1917, following the successful Russian Revolution, and various iterations happened subsequent to that, 1930s example. So espionage was the primary initiating project that this law was supposed to be dealing with. And so they charged us with being under the direction and control of Russia, and in all of the political work that we've done that I just mentioned. They had taken from us something like 13 terabytes of information. They stole computers and stole laptops and stole other kinds of electronic devices that they say constituted the equivalent of 2.5 million books. But at the trial that began on September 3rd, that they had suggested was going to last 1 month and that lasted something like 9 days, at the trial, they had no people they could bring to testify against us. And the only testimony they had against us was testimony that worked for the state. There was 12 FBI agents. There were two so-called Russian experts that testified for them. And all of the FBI agents indicated that we had done nothing during the time frame they said we were working for the Russians that we had not done in the past 40 or 50 years. This is what transpired. And so the jury, even though we did not put on a single person on the stand to testify, what we did win was an agreement that we could use some of the evidence, in quotes, that provided by the prosecution, and we could use other related evidence that we could present to the jury without putting anybody on the stand. And all of that evidence showed quite clearly the history that we have had over the years doing the political work that we do, working for African people, creating economic development programs, developing tactics and strategies for the liberation of our people that included winning support from peoples all around the world. That included the fact that I was in Spain in 2017 at the invite of a non-governmental organization, just as I was in Moscow in 2015 at the invite of a non-governmental organization. And so the jury, based on what they were able to see and what they heard from government witnesses, indicated that we were not, they voted that we were not Russian agents, that we were not working under the direction and control of Russia. But the confusing kind of instructions given to the jury and the lies told by the prosecution, who has the last word in terms of closing arguments, allowed the jury to convict us of being involved in a conspiracy to do something that never happened. So that's And so now we are looking at the 16th of December, where we'll go back to court, and we are faced with the possibility of 5-year prison sentences for each of us. When I say each, me, Jesse Neville, who is the chair of the Uhuru Solidarity Movement, Penny Hess, who is the chair of the African People Solidarity Committee. Each of us can be sentenced to 5 years in prison and $250,000 fines. That's where we're going to court on December 16th in Tampa, Florida, the Middle District Federal Court. We'll be asking people to join us to be there in numbers, because we think that's had a major impact on how the state has had to deal with us up to now. They've been unable to treat us, despite all their efforts, as some kind of isolated instance of some Black people who being involved in the movement for 40, 50 years and suddenly decide we're going to be employed by Russia, to be people who are fighting for self-determination, but we will surrender the self-determination that we are fighting for to Russians. So that's where we are. And we are asking on people, asking everybody who can to be there.
All right. I don't care if your nanny was black, or you ate grits for breakfast every morning, and you knew a girl in high school, a black girl, and she was nice. I don't care if your nanny was black because Michael Griffiths is dead, killed by white youths who got her free, even though witnesses testified to their crime. So I don't care, you hear? I don't care because black woman Tawana Brawley was raped by four white cops who are still out on the street, and Donald Trump takes out a three-page ad in the New York Times calling for the death of six black youth accused of raping a white woman. So I don't care if your nanny was black and you ate grits for breakfast every morning and you knew a black girl in high school, and she was nice.
Good morning, Abraham.
Good morning, Mr. Rico.
Yeah, please, why you all call me Mr.? Please drop the Mr.
Sorry?
How are you this morning?
Yeah, I am okay.
Yeah, how are things with friends and family in Winnipeg?
Oh, they're doing very well, but they're just anxious and still a little bit scared about the Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they're focusing on following what is going on in Sudan.
Okay.
With their family.
Yeah. I was just going to say blessed greetings to them on whatever holiday you guys celebrating during these times. And if you just celebrate any conventional holiday, blessed greetings to all of them. Anyhow, what we're looking towards now is let us and the people in Winnipeg and Canada, if possible, hear what's going on in Sudan.
Sorry?
Please proceed with whatever you have to say.
Okay, yeah, yes, I try to respond the question, excellent question you asked me last week. And you said that five forces who destroyed the Darfur and how the main army and compare with that. Yes. Rabbit Army, yes, they have been have the plan and project in order to occupy the Sudan, and that's why they being in the excellent position, and they during the few period time of life, they being able to build almost like 350,000+ army. Personal army, and that was ready, and Sudanese army was in that position, and one day just war broke out. You hear it, the leader of rebel forces announcing he going to catch the army's leader, Abdel Fattah Burhan, and just that. As soon as he announced that, nobody heard anything about him, and that was the end of war. But people still doesn't realize. And after that, the rebel forces just occupied the many areas in Khartoum, and he deployed his army all over the Sudan, and especially in Darfur. And he was strong and doing whatever he wanted to do. And yes, there is many people and many others supporting them, like machinery and other countries. But the Sudanese just keep quiet because they see the army was weak. But the difference was, the army has experience and ability because they have been in Khartoum and in surrounding many areas, and they know what the design of the city. And these people, and they began to defend their barracks. And yes, not doing anything. And these army people, they just lost their project, and they, some they just, I mentioned in the beginning some time ago, they are, most of them are clericalists and fundarists, and they focus on the how to the rape and also the steal the civilian things, and they began to destroy the like civilian facilities like bank and hostilities and the private companies, and they just focus on their personal interests, most of them. And because that, the army, the Sudanese army began to get chance and just to force them and taking their villages and their barracks. And during the 3 months, the private army doesn't have any barracks there, and they force them, and they see they run and just occupy the civilian area, and army began to block the all the areas in the different roads and cut them down, and that was a kind of policy the Sudanese army used, and that policy gives him the opportunity to being able to control what you see today. And the same thing is in Darfur. The Sudanese army and African enjoy troop together also use, have been using, defending the city of capital of Darfur, and rebel forces attacking many times, but nothing happened. And now they just began to remain in the city, and rest of them get out and move, looking where the army's rapid forces army come from, and chasing them. And now the situation is totally different, and situation is under control of the Sudanese and African enjoy troop together, and taking the control of the Sudan. And that is a whole situation right now in Sudan. And Sudanese people and public, they supporting the army. And situation is not, it's really very bad. And people have a really very bad experience what has happened for them. But now they see this kind of the processing, and they're getting the, some kind of secede, and other side you see they are disappearing, and people who are, they you supporting them, they just